The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk. Winners and sinners on The Hard Shoulder.
Yes, Alison Curtis is with the presenter Weekend Breakfast on Today FM. Saoirse Han, the audience editor and columnist with The Independent, picking winners and sinners from the week gone by. Saoirse, who's your winner?
My winner is Wicked, which sounds like it should be, you know, the other way around. It should be a sinner, but it's my winner. I went to see it on Wednesday. It's out today. Mm-hmm. It was incredible. I have to go see it again. I was into the soundtrack on the way here because they released it today, finally, and it's so good. I feel like, have you guys seen the play?
No.
Oh my God. Okay. Are you going to see the film?
Nope.
Should I? Can I ask you age? What age should, could I go with the 13-year-old?
Yes.
Okay.
It's darker. It's
should like a, you go with it?
Yes. Everybody should be going.
No.
It's
people can do something doesn't mean they should.
The story is darker than you think. Like it's darker than The Wizard of Oz. And the book that is also there, the book called Wicked by Gregory Maguire, I think it is. That is so dark. That, like, I read that a few years ago and it's like in all of it being so much, I think you forget how much darker it is. Like watching the show, I saw the play again. I saw it in the West End years ago.
Wow.
And I saw it again in the Board Gosh. I'm something of a fanatic, I think maybe. And I was just, I'm quite surprised I'm not with the same enthusiasm. But I watched the show again in the Board Gosh in the summer and I had forgotten how much of it is like much darker than you think, because yes, it's got like Linda in her pink dress, lots of singing, lots of friendship, lots of, you know, all of this, but then there's this kind of much like deeper story that they're telling, which is very good. But I would think 13 is fine.
I'm not great with musicals now. My attention span is not brilliant. I mean, I tried Spirited with Will Ferrell and Ryan at Reynolds. I thought I was going to like that. No, once they started singing,
gave it up.
Once they started singing, I was like, sorry, Will, I'm out.
15 minutes in, I was out there.
Is it a bad time to say that the runtime is 2 hours and 41 minutes?
And it's only half a movie.
What? No.
It is only half a movie.
Listen, it's act one of the play.
Act, yeah.
I mean, it's just a year intermission.
So it's a two act play. Okay.
Yeah, the second one is.
They don't even go with the tradition of three acts. I mean, I'm already gone.
It's so good.
The tour, like the press tour, is selling it to me, though. Oh, I would love to give them all some sandwiches, though, I'm going to be honest.
Honestly, the way they're all talking.
Oh, they're too skinny.
All of them. But also, they're like really weirdly intense about the whole thing, like the way that they're acting. Now, I think anybody who's ever been in a play can attest to the fact that you do form these like really weirdly intense friendships for like a few weeks
after.
It's
like a matching tattoo so that when their hands clasp together, the tattoos touch.
Oh, I mean, the press run.
Regret that.
The marketing's been insane. Everything's pink and green. Like even when I was in the States, like everything is pink and green. It's actually mental. It's brilliant. There's that pop-up on Grafton Street where you guys clearly will not be going. You can pop in and like envision yourself in the world of Oz as a yellow brick road. Guys, it's great, guys. It's so fun. The lighthouse was excellent.
I feel more like I identify with the scarecrow a little bit more than anybody else, to be honest.
Oh, God, I can't spoil anything, but like if you want more information on the scarecrow's backstory, you should absolutely be watching.
Say that I have a problem with this obsession in Hollywood of filling in the backstories on everything. You don't need to do it.
Mm.
Do you know why though?
I think they just can't think of original ideas.
Yeah, I know. And it's just money. It's like money, money, money. But like, you know, Star Wars is the example that comes to mind. You didn't need episodes 1, 2, and 3, but it was just an obsession with like building this whole universe.
Yeah.
Like a story can stand alone without knowing how the Scarecrow came to lose
his
brain or whatever he lost.
Let's be honest. You only need the 70s and the 80s ones. That's fine.
Yeah. And Rogue One was
good. Yeah, that was pretty good actually. Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway.
Sorry.
I have seen that.
No singing.
Every
in them.
Star Wars. Yeah.
Absolutely no singing.
No singing. No Jonathan Bailey. I don't know if I want to be there. Sorry.
Yeah. So does Wicked end, because it's only half of a movie, does it end on a, is there a conclusion in this or is it just like mid-story, it just cuts
there
off?
There is a conclusion. There is, because I feel like this won't be a spoiler because the show's been running for a very long time. But the way Act One ends is with defying gravity. And it's with Elphaba realizing that, right, she's going to have to just go on her own and just defy gravity, and off she pops on her broom. And that's how this film also ends. So you'll end that way. We won't tell you how she got there. But there's a conclusion to that part of the story and you're ready for, I actually forgot what happens in the second act. I looked up the other day because I was like, what's left for the next film? But there's plenty more to come and I will be sat.
Do you think it is a generational thing maybe? Is it? Like I know a lot of people.
There was a big mix. Like even at the premiere on Wednesday, there was a huge mix of age ranges and people that were there.
I mean, honestly, like, Jonathan Bailey would actually draw me in. I'm going to be
actually like
that.
Him playing a prince was dangerous. Like I've never swooned before in my life. I was faint.
You haven't watched Bridgerton then?
I have.
I totally
even more powerful. He's fantastic. And Ariana Grande is amazing. Cynthia Erivo is fantastic. They did so... It's actually phenomenally done. It's very good. I'm biased, but it's very good.
It's Saoirse's winner of the week only.
Fine, guys. I'll have to find
Alison, what's your winner of the week?
Okay. They're called Pinch of Snuff. So I'm lucky enough to have gone to Japan a couple of times, and there's definitely an Irish connection there. I don't know how many exactly, but we ended up in an Irish pub because I remember in 2002 being a little bit disappointed with my colleagues suggesting that because I'm like, we're in Tokyo, but it ended up being a lot of fun. There's a band called Pinch of Snuff. They've been around for 15 years, and they are a trad music band. There's loads of them in it. They're extremely skilled musicians.
Are they Japanese?
Yes. Whoa. So they're in love with trad music, and it started actually over 15 years ago, and they've had roving members, but Tiger is one of the members that just said that we love Irish music so much. It's beautiful, powerful, fleeting and sad, and they love the technical aspects of it as well. So they cover the Chieftains and Pogues and everybody, and I've gone into such a deep dive on them now and on their Instagram channel, and I love them.
Do they sing?
Yes, yeah. They do a little bit of that. Okay. But like they're so interesting. Like they're, you know, Japanese looking people playing, well, they are Japanese, Irish music, and they're tatted up, and there's a huge band and these tiny little greasy stages. Like it's a win-win-win for me. And they sound amazing.
It'd be so weird for an Irish group to be playing Japanese music.
Yeah, exactly.
We'd kind of consider them such an oddity.
But it's because Irish culture, and we've talked about this many times before, all of us have talked about it. It's one of the few, like it's the only place that our national holidays celebrate everywhere else in the world.
Yeah.
Like Irish people don't gear up on the 1st of Canada or 1st of July and go, yeah, it's Canada Day.
Despite your best efforts, Alison.
They just don't do it.
After many years of campaigning.
Come on, guys. It falls on a Saturday this year. Anyway. But yeah, like they just are amazing looking and sounding. And I love that clash of cultures, clash of cultures.
Isn't it the Irish pub thing though, like, we like to look down our nose at it, but you have to admit,
you guys head to them when you travel.
Had a good night.
I know, and they're actually a great night. A really great night. And sometimes you potter about the city and you kind of think, oh, of course we're not going there.
And then
you try your hand at all the local bars and you have your tapas or whatever you're doing.
Yeah.
And then it gets to a certain point and you go, will we just go for a few pints and poke Mahone's around the corner? And it's absolutely brilliant.
I know.
Yes.
And I think that's what happened like, the first year we were in Tokyo, and I was like kind of annoyed at everybody. I was like, come on, guys, like, it's Tokyo. And then we ended up meeting a guy that lived in Rathfarnham for a few years who was originally from Tokyo. And it was a brilliant night. And I was like, okay, I'll eat my words.
Yeah, they are great. What's the most random place you're in an Irish pub?
Oh, God.
Is that it? Tokyo, maybe?
Possibly. There's one in Cyprus that we went to.
Yeah.
I'd say Tokyo, definitely. Yeah.
Watch some of the Olympics in 2008 in the Grand Khan Irish pub in the capital of Mongolia, in Ulaanbaatar.
Okay, that's pretty random.
It's a huge, like, mega pub, and it's an Irish pub.
But see, that's what I mean.
Like, Guinness and like plastic cups outside, you know, watching a huge screen
of
the Olympics.
Or was it like, did it have a proper
place? It wasn't really. It wasn't great, but it was, you know, we still went there. We were still in Mongolia, and we were like, what do we do now that we're in Mongolia? We'll never be back in Mongolia again. Let's go to the Irish. But it was the only place to go. It's the only place, yeah.
And see, that's where that whole reputation, I think, is carrying on. It's like our social hub is in a pub. So it's like, yeah, the Irish know how to do this.
I did once represent an Irish pub in the Montreal Patrick's Day Parade.
Wow.
I was on the McKibben's float 2017.
Very good.
2018, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
And how did you dress to represent Manifest Ireland in Montreal?
Well, I've never been to Canada at that time of the year, but it's very cold.
Very,
very cold.
Okay.
So lots and lots of layers.
Wearing enough. That's
well, I know. And then they gave, well, I never was that whole year. A friend texted me this morning about the time that I thought I could wear a denim jacket and it was like -8. But anyway, we'll get back to that. I had, they gave us like hockey jerseys, you know, the very famous Irish sport of ice hockey.
Yes.
So they gave us big McKibben's ice hockey jerseys and like, you know, a shot glass on a string and a lot of other very important things you had to wear. And the reason we got that is because you'd enter a competition and write a limerick to like get in. And I think maybe nobody like entered it because me and another few friends did it and all of us won. So,
well, you are a writer, so I imagine you were very easily the top.
Wonderful.
Of the pile.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's it's not particularly far flung, but I do owe McKibben's a wonderful time on St. Patrick's Day 2018 that I can remember most of.
All right. Well, listen, I need to get the news headlines with Eamon, but what we'll do, I'll tell you, for a couple of minutes between now and then, let's listen to a bit of Pinch of Snuff. 1, 2, 3. Saoirse, who's your sinner of the week?
My sinner this week is skincare for kids. So there was a piece on this earlier in the week about, I think it was in the Indonas, about the skincare trends among really young teenagers and kids, and how, like, you know, they're adding all this stuff to their skin that it necessarily doesn't really need at that time, because your skin is regenerating so much, it doesn't need, you know, all these retinoids and stuff. And we're just seeing all these things on social media using them. But aside from just that, I was in Space and K on Grafton Street at the weekend. Which,
did you find my daughter there?
I did not. I wasn't looking for her.
She's always there.
This is what I mean. There were so many teenagers there. I had to, like, reef teenagers out of the way to try and get to any of the stands in Space and
What's
K.
What's Space and K?
It's just, it's heaven for tweens and teenagers. Like, it's got everything skincare related.
Okay.
Luxury skincare. It's where you can buy Glossier in Ireland, which you can't buy anywhere.
Yeah, oh, wow, a lot
Glossier.
Of brands you can't buy.
What's Glossier?
It is.
It's the star of Wicked.
Oh, wow, okay.
No, it's an American skincare brand and makeup brand, and it, now it's really, really expensive, but a few years ago it was, like, amazing and a really good price, but they only have huge flagship stores in, like, New York or London or random places, and you could buy it online, but you could never shop it in person until Space and K brought it in the UK and Ireland. So that was huge, and it's huge for Glossier fans such as myself.
I'm surprised, can I cut across, sorry, I'm surprised there isn't a Sephora in Ireland, with the fact that, like, traditionally Irish people or women have, like, they make a lot more effort with their face than Canadian women do and, like, buy those products. I'm really surprised.
And it's in Europe, you can go, like, you go to Spain or
Sephora.
It's basically Space and K, sorry.
you guys run with this.
Yeah, you guys leave us with this one.
Tea or coffee?
Yeah. I'd have a double espresso.
Well, you can get, it's another, basically. It's they're like fancy boots. That's what, it's fancy the best.
Do you know what boots is?
Yeah,
boots. You've been to boots.
Yeah, kind of like galoshes you wear on your feet.
Just like it. Yeah, yeah, winter wear. No, but to my mind, I was, like, in Space and K trying to get to the Glossier section because they have this new perfume that I wanted to smell in person, and my mom was there. It was a day out, okay, for adult people. And then I had to fight all these kids to get there, and I was like, how can any of you afford anything here? There was a girl.
Are you giving out that kids were there so that, and they got in the way of you kidulting where your mom was going to buy you the nice perfume?
Excuse me.
That is exactly what was happening. You were kidulting.
I was showing her
the perfume.
And if she happened to pick up an extra one at the till, I wasn't going to fight her on it. That's different. That's so different.
But get out of my way. My mom has to buy me a perfume.
But think of parents, though. It's cost, like, she has been costing me a fortune.
So yeah. There was the kids in the queue, and they had, like, holding, like, 30 euro face creams, and I was like, how can any of you afford that? I can only afford that now and I'm 27.
I know.
I don't understand.
She's been costing me. And, like, the other day she had, like, a little setup, this, like, drawers of all her stuff. And I was like, Joan, is that all lip balm in there? And it was a drawer, and there must have been 18 of them. And I'm like, some of them are going to go moldy. They're disgusting. Go through that. Get rid of some of them. And she's like, 18. How did I let her get 18 of those things?
Yeah.
Well, I probably taught her.
Yeah.
Bad parenting. So is your issue that is the money thing, or that they shouldn't be using these products?
I think it's more that overall it's just, like, a little bit unnecessary, in the sense that it's just, like, kind of, obviously the skincare market and industry is huge, and there's, you know, different brands for different ages, categories and things like that. But the lines have been really, really blurred, where now, like, the must-have item that I might want that wouldn't be suitable for, like, my 17-year-old sister's face.
Yeah,
is now
something
we're both marketed and we both should have. We both have to have it, and we both are going to, you know, want it. And it's just not quite the same. And I think I've thought this a long time about, like, particularly makeup and stuff, that, like, teenagers aren't ugly anymore because they don't go through a phase of, like, getting to put really ugly makeup on.
Yeah, I was looking at John the other day getting mad, going, how come you didn't get ugly like I got ugly?
My sister's so beautiful. She, like, will go to a party and she looks so stunning. And when I got myself when I was that age, I mean, maybe that's me. I don't know. Maybe it's a me thing. But, like, where is your disgusting blue eyeshadow that you bought in Essence on clearance? Like, where's the Dream Matte Mousse foundation?
It's just too much pressure.
Like, orange.
It is too much
pressure.
It's
so much pressure.
Could I do a little tip for parents that are listening? So Joan was kind of there, but not doing, like, just, like, different serums and things like that. So she wasn't really listening to me, because I did kind of educate myself on skincare stuff to try and preserve myself more so than anything. But I gave her the advice of a dermatologist, and then she took it on board because it didn't actually come from me. So I think if parents can say, well, this, you know, research it properly, and then go, came from a dermatologist.
Save so much money, though.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, she's still spending all that money on lip balm.
Yeah.
So, skincare for kids.
Yeah, get out of space, and Kay. Make room for me.
And your
and
mom.
And my mom.
To buy
at the till.
For you.
Thank you.
Alison, is your sinner of the week?
So, I'm sorry, I was on an island. I don't know if you covered it this week, but ouch. The Women's Aid
wounds me now.
Study about traditional views.
Oh, no, we did talk about it. Yeah.
Yeah. So, Sarah Benson's wonderful. Christina Sherlock, they're both in Women's Aid. They're amazing. And the study came out and it's really scary. You know, you read this as well. Yeah. Research. So like 70% of men that were of the 1,000 that were polled think that women's issues are exaggerated, and it's more likely to be younger men. So that's obviously, again, going back to this kind of online influence and who's talking online to these guys. And they're really separating what it means to be, you know, a man and a woman now, whereas I felt like we made some progress there. So my favorite part of this is they're like the views found, they either agreed or were unsure of the statements. So I'm going to go with the second.
All right, okay.
I understand what they were saying.
What things were they unsure about?
So men who don't dominate in relationships aren't real men. So 52% of the people agreed with that. A man's worth is measured by power and control over others. 54% agreed with that. And a real man shouldn't have to care about women's opinions or feelings. Why should they? 46% agreed to that. So Sarah Benson, who's the CEO of Women's Aid, was saying this is a really great opportunity for intergenerational conversations. And I have always surrounded myself with men who would not agree with these statements, even if they understood them on another otherwise.
I don't understand what you're saying.
And I'm of an older generation than 20-year-olds. And so I would certainly say that there is an opportunity for conversations to be had, to trickle down to young guys kind of saying, you know, that dude that you follow online, it's just, that's for extreme views, for hits and clicks and all that kind of stuff. And maybe he doesn't actually feel that way, but also these are really harmful ideas. So let's move away from these.
Yeah.
So it's depressing reading, but sadly not shocking.
Yeah. But The Economist did a kind of a similar thing a couple of years ago where, you know, the trend since they've ever measured this is that every generation gets kind of progressively more progressive or more liberal, say, than the generation before. And it just, you know, incrementally, it just, that's the way it goes. And then it's the overall, say, I'm mixing up, which is Gen Z. The overall trend with Gen Z is the same, but actually when you split it by gender, it's totally different. And it's the females in Gen Z are skewing it to progressive and liberal, and the young men are
way more... I know
we kind
of touched on this before,
and
we were talking about those wonderful people that the fallout from the election in the US. But yeah, it is really strange. Like, I talk to friends and go, so the guys that were in our group of friends growing up, we were all like in bands in high school, and the guys are like, we're going to take women's studies because we want to better understand your perspective on the world, and we're going to paint our nails too. Why not? For graduation. So it was this crazy PC bubble we grew up in. So then I was like, everybody feels this way.
Yeah.
They don't.
That's my biggest failing too. And like I always think my brother's a really good case study because he's the only boy amongst three women in the house. And I feel like my main life's mission has been to radicalize him my whole life. I need to have a 20-year-old feminist in that house or I will have failed. And mostly he does pretty well, I think, most of the time. But he says things sometimes to me, my sister kind of like, roll it back on that. You can't say that. But it's just because he's like, oh, me and the lads are talking about this and we're laughing, whatever. And it's that kind of like harmless stuff that I'm like, you need to nip that in the bud so it doesn't grow into like a worse consensus. Yeah. And I think he would probably feel like, you know, why would he in it? He would kind of think, why would he be discussing, you know, women's issues? And like that, why would he be of the 50% that should care?
Yeah.
But I think it's more just making me realize that like, women's issues are just people's issues and you should probably care about them.
Exactly, yeah. And then you're hoping on the fact that his peer group are having similar conversations at home. That's what you're... It's a collective thing. Like, you're hoping other people are propping up the same ideologies. So.
Yeah, and I think when you talk about decent friends, you're like, that's good. I'm glad that your friends are like that. I'm kind of like, do you guys ever talk about this? Do you talk about these things? Maybe you should. Do you know what would be great when you're doing a round of golf? Talking about women's issues.
It's funny, the language in the questions they posed, it's all the buzzwords of the those online individuals who we won't give any attention to. But it is like domination. What was the power and control?
Yeah.
And then a scorn for feelings. You know what I mean? This is his big thing.
I'm
thinking of in particular, you know,
like in that example of like men who aren't dominant in their relationships are not real men. What does that look like? What does that mean? Genuinely, what does that mean?
Exactly. And like in this whole idea of like something being lesser than and someone else
being whipped.
Yeah,
that's what I was trying to think of.
Whipped.
What's that phrase?
Yeah.
Oh, so that's what they mean. Like,
I guess so. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Right. That's so weird.
It is strange. and archaic.
Anyway, do you know what's interesting though? Like when you look at that intergenerational trend, it means that say that there's a generation of young men who are not only kind of, when we say, are less progressive and less liberal and more traditionalist than previous, but they're more traditional than their dads.
Well, that's what I mean. So they're not getting their influence from their parents. And that's what Sarah Benson's argument is. It's like, it's an opportunity for people to talk to each other because they're getting all of their influence online.
Oh, I don't talk about my feelings. Come on.
Yeah. Whereas the dads, like the 50-year-olds, 60-year-olds are way more progressive. So it's a chance, largely, I'm generalizing, for them to talk to the guys and go, you know, that guy who follows, he's kind of a dork. Don't believe what he says.
Basically. Yeah. But again, and this goes into a whole other area, but like how many of those 56-year-old dads realize what they're watching, there's a bit of ignorance, you know what I mean? Just like, he's on his phone, whatever.
I know. Yeah. But they shouldn't be.
He's not annoying me. I'm playing golf to talk about women's issues.
Yeah,
exactly.
Talk about women's issues.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, that is a very worthy center of the week, those traditionalist views. Alison and Saoirse are going to stay with me. We'll be back after this with the last bit of the show.
Ignition sequence start.
This is the last bit of the show.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. All engine running. Liftoff. We have a liftoff.
Yes, Alison Curtis and Saoirse Hanley are both still with me. Saoirse, what are end of year resolutions?
End of year resolutions, they're something I coined yesterday.
Okay.
This is their first airing. End of year, I was thinking.
This is an exclusive.
Yes, yeah, exclusive.
Sorry, can we let the newsroom know that we've been exclusive?
It's also going to be front page of the paper tomorrow. I'm going on the Late Late tonight. No, I'm not. What end of year resolutions? I think that. I'll start from the beginning here. I've made a list of books or a list of goals, a reading goal for the year that I wanted to read 24 books.
Wow.
And did you?
I have 22 done. So I have five weeks to read two more.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's fine. I think I'll get there.
Yeah, pick a couple of short ones. It's Christmas party season now, so there'll be a couple of nights where you're not going to read.
Exactly. So I'll get
Pearl
the little ones.
Or something that's about 80 pages.
That's, you know what I mean? Like,
maybe a novella.
Like, small things like these earlier in the year. Before that was a really nice, easy read, 100 pages or something. But it still counts. Still up there on
my list. Yeah.
But I was thinking about this and I was like, okay, that's my... Last year my goal was like 35 and I got as far as 17 or something, and I was like, right, okay, let's be more realistic this year. But I was thinking about that and I was like, right, all I kind of need to get done by the end of this year is my 24 books, and I've got two left and I'll get there and it'll be fine. But then I was thinking, is there anything else that you kind of want to, like, we think a lot about what we want to start the new year with or what we want to get done in 2025 or whatever it may be, but there's still time left this side of the year that I'm just wondering what we'd like to not have accomplished but like tick off before the year's end.
That's interesting. I like that concept, definitely. Mm. I never set New Year's resolutions because I just don't want to disappoint myself.
Yeah.
It's an exercise in disappointing yourself, I think, largely. Yeah. But at least this way, if it's measured, I mean, two books is...
So it's like, you know, when you write to-do lists and you write on the list the things you've already done.
Yeah.
And you cross it off.
Right, to-do
I love doing that.
So that's kind of...
But halfway through the day, I realized, you know, I should have made a list of everything, and you tick off everything you did in the morning. Why are you writing it down?
You did it.
Just yeah,
tick it off.
It was to-do, and then just did it. Cross it off. Yeah, so it's kind of like that concept.
And maybe that's the, as I'm still building the rules of this concept that I've discovered, I think that is a rule, that it should be something very accomplishable and something that you're kind of halfway with already.
Yeah.
That kind of way, like maybe you need to, I don't know, clean the bathroom at the end of your... I know you should do that more than once a year. I do it more than once a year, but you know, an extensive clean.
Part of it is self-cleaning.
Do you know what I mean? The shower washes itself.
Oh, yeah. Showers, baths, sinks and toilets are self-cleaning because water comes out when you press a button.
Oh no.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Is that what my husband thinks and that's why he doesn't do it?
Yeah.
The toilet
showers get pretty gross.
There, but the shower
it gets a bit manky, but for some reason, when I leave it and then I come back, it's clean again. So it's this.
Do you think there's like a little magic fairy that?
Yeah, I think something. I guess my whole life anyway, these toilets turn up clean. You know what I mean?
They just
I'm playing golf.
Traditional views.
I go out and play golf, talk about women's issues with the lads, and then I come out the toilet.
You go like this. I'm not whipped. I don't clean the toilet.
But I do think that it should be something that you can kind of definitely, resolutely seeing yourself do. Anything on your list? What do you think you want to get done?
I don't know, but it does remind me, if I remember Was it last year or the year before? There was someone on the radio talking about, like, it was a fitnessy type thing. And they actually gave, they said a really good thing. It was maybe mid-November. And they said, loads of people around now will say, oh, in the new year, they'll put something off. They said, actually don't. If you do it now, then you'll feel great by the time Christmas comes around. And then you can just kind of blow through Christmas or whatever and enjoy it. And you're not kind of feeling miserable in yourself. Not that anyone should, but I mean, if people are in that frame of mind where they think,
that's a good
point. I want to get extra. I have been a laggard on that front. Yeah. I want to get even if it's just going walking, just go start the walk. How did it describe it? Was we're in this window now where everyone will delay things because Christmas is visible, but don't, and you'll feel great when Christmas comes.
That is
around.
A really good point, actually. Yeah.
Get out for that walk.
They were on my board of directors when I was coming up with this concept. Yeah, I just told them on that. There was extensive research done, but that's a really good point. Like, it's something that, like, because I kind of hate. I was only saying something last night. I really hate New Year's Eve.
Yeah.
I really don't like it.
A lot of people don't like it.
It's so much pressure. And if you don't have a good time, you feel like it's just rude.
Don't worry, when you get older, there's no pressure. Nobody expects anything from you about going out.
Go anywhere on New Year's Eve.
I get a perverse pleasure out of falling asleep before midnight. I love it.
I would feel like I'd feel so stressed as missing something. Whereas New Year's Day, I think, is nice because you're relaxed. It's the start of the new year. Whatever will be, it's all fine. But I do like the concept of, like, renewal and getting to, like, start new things and have new goals. But like that, it is a lot of pressure. So I feel like we should all be a lot more reasonable. And that's why, everyone, you should bring your reading goals from 35 books a year to 24.
Which is reasonable.
And then you'll actually maybe get there.
That's impressive, though. That's still impressive.
But I feel like I was flat out reading, and that still doesn't feel like that much. So I don't know. I'm going to have to rethink for next year. One of my friends has a goal of 50, and she's almost there.
Oh, wow.
I know.
Amazing.
50. You were in Inishturk during the week?
Yes. So Inishturk is part of this project that we're doing on the show, and we're going to all these different places. So it's County Mayo.
The island of the boar. Is that what it means? Turk? Canturk in Cork is Canturk is the head of the boar.
Okay.
So Inishturk. That's
the only fact I didn't retain, Karen. All right, that's fine. It's only 2.5 kilometers.
Apologies to everybody from Inishturk.
It's only 2.5 kilometers wide, 5 long.
Yeah.
So we take the ferry over there. Obviously, we took the passenger ferry. And I have to say, for the first time ever in my life, I was a little seasick. And I was like, then I got really annoyed. So this
How long is it, the ferry?
40 minutes.
Oh.
Like, yeah. So, and I never, like, and I've done, like, crazy, really wavy things. But I was like, and then I got really annoyed at myself. And I was like, I should be, then I did traditional male views. I was like, I should be stronger than
You should be dominating the sea.
Yeah, I should be dominating.
Dominate the sea.
So the trick of, like, going outside, not talking, not looking at your phone, obviously, but, like, looking straight into the horizon does actually work. But on the way back, it was fine. But this guy, was the same guy, was there on the way back. And I was like, I looked at him on the way back. And I was like, I feel like I really let myself down there, Gary, on the way over. And he's like, it's fine. I've seen way worse. I was like, I know, but I really let myself down. But it's like, it's a really amazing community. And it's obviously not one of those islands that a lot of people maybe necessarily know that much about.
I haven't heard about it, I don't think.
Yeah. So it's tiny, as I've established. It has one central spot, a community center run by Breege, who's amazing. And then it has a school with, how many students do you think are in the school?
It's going to be tiny. Five?
Three.
Three!
Oh, so shout out to Jessica, Saoirse, and Amelia. Two of them are sisters, one's a cousin, and they are absolutely adorable. And their teacher, Anne, they have such a nice relationship with each other. So we met loads of lovely people. It's like, there's way more sheep than people. There's these stone walls all the way through. And it's definitely the furthest west GA pitch in the country. I was told that by Mikey. It was definitely. And it was just like an amazing experience. And you could see that attraction for island life. Now it's hard.
Yeah.
And there are lots of things that need to be considered. You can't get like halfway home and go, I don't have the milk. Because you can't. So there's lots of pre-planning, which I'm absolutely dire at. So I would have to learn to be better at that.
I've learned to food
but there's like little holiday homes. I was like, I see myself back here again for like a couple of days. And
oh, yeah.
It's beautiful. And the air is so clean.
Crisp outside. Did you see the Outrun with Saoirse Ronan earlier in the year?
No.
Part of that is filmed on this very, very remote Scottish island. And like that, watching it, I was like, I have to give up my whole life and move to a tiny little island.
And the less you start to like people, it makes more sense.
Yeah. But there's something,
beautiful.
I don't know. Yeah. There's something, I don't know what it is. Is it a human nature thing? That's something I think romantic about that kind of remote, you know. It's like even in the do you ever watch Shetland, the BBC show where he's driving like
I've seen a few.
Let's find out who did it type classic. But it's just it's the scenery,
it's
amazing.
Wide open spaces,
driving around the Shetland
Islands. The only thing that's heartbreaking, and like this is where I was like, oh no, I definitely couldn't because I'm obsessed with my daughter. But once they reach secondary, they do have to go to the mainland. So it's kind of like they're gone. Like, and back in the day, this woman Mary, who's lovely, was telling us that when her kids are now in their 40s, were going through school, like the ferry system wasn't there. Like there's currently
so they go
still.
To boarding school.
So they have to go and live with the family, say in Westport or Lewisburg, and go to schools there. And then now the ferry system's better, so they can come on the weekends. Yeah. But still, I was like, oh, no, no. Like, Joan, maximum 24 hours away from me, and I've got to get back to her.
Oh, no.
So it is, and you could see they were heartbroken talking about it. So this one woman has two sons that have already gone off, but then the Jessica and Saoirse, her daughters, are not, and they're about to, and just forecasting to that time. You're like, bleh. But what everyone was saying is that all those kids were learning the skills that we learn when we go to college, and they're learning it at 12 and 13. And so many of them have gone off to be, like, incredible. Well, everyone, but like really cool jobs and really independent, and like they just shaped their lives so much living on the island and having to go at a young age to get education.
People can hear more about it at the weekend.
Yes, yes, they can. Sorry, yes.
On the show, Weekend Breakfast with Alison Curtis, Saoirse Hanley, Alison, thank you both very much. Enjoy the weekend, everybody. Talk to you on Monday.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.